Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be real.
Yeah.
This was one of my favorite quotes last night when Trump took the stage.
I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
It's not as good when you don't see his smile because he kind of tilted his head. And, you know, yesterday, and I can't remember if we played this audio, but, you know, he had a news conference yesterday and reporters were shouting out questions in the morning. This is when he voted in Florida. And, sir, I'll do it like he does.
I love
it. Sir, I love when he says that. Sir, do you have a speech prepared for tonight, sir? No, I'm just going to talk. And that's what he did. Now, as I'm texting Fred at 2 in the morning, he was weaving a bit. We're like, okay, let's stop the weaving. It's really, really early. And then can I make one other observation and a recommendation perhaps to Coach Dennis Gates at Mizzou or Josh Scherzer? Barron Trump is what, like 8 feet tall? Are you kidding me?
He is tall.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, how tall is Trump himself? I don't know.
I think he said 6'2 is what Trump says.
Oh,
he
all right, all right. Hey. Oh, that's what Barron
is? Thought he,
or Trump?
No. I think Barron is 6'8 or 6'9.
Is Barron Trump? Oh my gosh, I typed in how tall.
And that's the first thing, of course.
Barron Trump.
Of course it is.
Come up. Let's see. 6'9.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
Skip Webber height.
He is tall.
Holy Toledo.
I gave my shout outs in the last hour, but let me, because one of the people I gave a shout out to was our friend Selena Zito. And I've said this before, but we're very lucky because we have the top contributors and pundits out there that have been on our show.
That's true.
For years, in many cases, more than a decade. But Selena has been completely dialed into her state of Pennsylvania.
The emergence of the middle class that is often looked at by the national media, not you guys, and Democrats as being white working class. What they failed to understand, sort of what the blind spot was, is that white working class, Hispanic working class, Black working class, Asian working class, they all vote shoulder to shoulder now. They are coming all together because they vote about their community, their family, and their lives. And the economy was just never there for them.
Yeah, she's right about that. By the way, in the middle of that soundbite here, I gotta do something.
Stamp it red.
Alaska called for Trump this afternoon. Fred, what was the montage? Did you put these in three different? Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is really something. Okay. This is our friends on the left making election predictions.
I think it's going to be a blowout. Actually, I don't think it's going to be a close race. I think there are going to be those Republicans that just vote for Harris.
It'll be tied on election day, as always. It will. The polls will be tied, and then he'll lose.
You call us trash? Oh, J.D. Vance,
Nicole Wallace.
You just stepped up in a way that I've never seen in my political life, and I worked for Sarah Palin.
Then I would say take Harris over 270 electoral votes. Let these fools and these crypto markets, let them drive the betting line into a favorable place and then take advantage of it. That's what I would do. I think she's going to win.
Okay, Jimmy. Raging Cajun was wrong about that. You know, Lamping, we'll talk about this. He was really betting toward or really pointing out the crypto market in the betting markets and how they were reacting to this last night. There's more.
We need to really take a step back and think about what does that say about us?
People who woke up this morning with a dream and are going to bed with a nightmare.
I'd like to know what that says about us as a country.
I am I'm mystified in some ways. Who are we as a country? And we're starting to find out. And I, from what I'm seeing right now, I'm not sure I like it.
That's Jonathan Capehart from the New York Times. Here's what I love about Jonathan Capehart making those comments. You know where he said that? He said that on the government-subsidized broadcasting company, PBS. I think that'd be a good place to start here after Inauguration Day. You want to do some budget cutting? Let's take away the subsidies for the propaganda on NPR and PBS. I think that would be a great place to start. And by the way, you know, we've talked about stuff like this for a while. That damn stuff can happen now, for real.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, since it's, you know, Election Day, well, maybe the day after, but I found this on this day in history. 164 years ago in 1860, 82% of the eligible voters turned out to elect Abraham Lincoln. 82% as our 16th president.
And what would, I don't know, if did they have like a national number for turnout, or did they just break that down locally?
That's a good question. And without any coverage of any kind, how did that even get tallied and brought back? It's just...
Okay, well, here's something, though, to address, and I haven't brought this up. And I am not, the listeners know this, I'm not a stolen election person at all. Mm-hmm. I know that there's fraud out there, but the math does not really work for me here. And maybe John Lamping will address this a little bit later. But when you look at the numbers from last night, so I don't know if you've done that, you know, we had 128 million people in 2016, 155 million people in 2020, and 138 million last night. How does that make sense?
Hmm. You mean as total voters?
Total votes. Yeah, total votes. So it's down 16, 17 million votes over 4 years. Why would that be? Democracy was on the line. A Nazi was on the ballot. You think people would be inspired? I don't get that. I really, maybe there's an explanation, but I don't understand it. Someone's going to have to explain it to me.
I have a theory. I think that post-Trump, the Democrats went out and thought, oh, my gosh, we can't have this. Oh, my goodness, it's terrible. We have to vote on someone else. But this time around, their candidate wasn't that strong. But if you have Trump, if you just hate him like a crazy person, like a mad hatred, you can't vote for him either. So you don't go.
Maybe that's it. I think I want to look at the state totals and kind of break it down and see where they were. You know, maybe you'll see something from Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, where they had Senate races that are a little different than the other states. Because let's face it, here in Missouri, not as competitive. I'll look at Missouri's numbers and just see where we were.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And also on this day in history, 42 years ago in 1982, this song from An Officer and a Gentleman actually made it to number one on the singles chart.
What a great movie, too.
I never saw it.
You never saw that? Oh. Deborah Winger, Richard Gere?
No, I've only seen pieces of it.
Mayonnaise? Are you kidding me?
I've seen pieces of it, but never the whole thing.
Ooh. You hit the note there, Sue.
Not on the
nice
note,
work.
But the timing.
this is another one of those movies I watched. I rewatched it probably about 5 years ago. And
did it hold up?
Oh, yeah, it did, of course. Well, the cast is outstanding.
Yeah,
Whatever happened to Deborah Winger, by the way? She just kind of disappeared a little bit.
That's a good question. And on this day in history, 26 years ago today, in 1998, The Siege, starring Denzel Washington and Bruce Willis, and The Waterboy, starring Adam Sandler, both opened to packed houses for the sole reason that Star Wars Episode I trailer was being shown in theaters.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That was a thing, for sure. And then we saw those movies, and it wasn't a thing.
And they did it before. They showed the trailer before and after both of those films.
Was Jar Jar Binks featured? I bet he was.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Jar Binks. That was a big deal. It was.
Yeah. Officials, I didn't realize this. I saw this story today. Officials raided the Netflix offices in Paris and Amsterdam yesterday.
Yeah.
It's part of an investigation into charges of aggregated tax fraud and corruption that began in 2022. Did you know anything about that?
I saw the story yesterday. It intrigued me. I don't know much more about it, but it sounded relatively serious.
It really did. And a Netflix spokesperson said, listen, we're cooperating. We have abided by the tax laws, so stay tuned and we'll see what happens. But they raided both offices for info. And the co-founder of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus, passed away yesterday. He was 95 years old. Home Depot, by the way, was founded in the 70s. But I feel like I wasn't even aware of it until, what, the 90s? Did you know about it in the 70s?
No way.
Okay.
Maybe we didn't have need of it so much.
Well, here's what they said.
Well, we didn't, Fred, because people would go to hardware stores in local...
Central Hardware.
Central Hardware.
I mean, that is kind of how it happened. And then... You know, we got away from that. Probably the first thing that would happen is Walmart.
Well, that's true. Well, it is now the largest home improvement chain in the world. Marcus apparently used to tell the story that he would sell a man of freezers door to door before it opened. That was his first, one of his first jobs. The other co-founder was Arthur Blank. And they wanted a place where DIY people could find everything they needed in one store. Okay, here's your random fact. Where was the first Home Depot opened? What city? It's a major city.
Atlanta.
That's right.
Well, you gave it up with Arthur Blank.
Oh, yeah,
he owns the Falcons.
Oh,
he is
that's
a great.
I didn't know
well,
that.
Arthur Blank is a great. I mean, there's a guy that has put a lot into his community. He really has, and he's put a lot into that organization and franchise. He's a hero down there.
Well,
and he might be a Super Bowl winner this year.
Yeah. Sales, by the way, for Home Depot last year, $153 billion.
Wow.
Billion with a B. Okay, according to Amazon, the FAA has approved its request to fly small delivery drones. And these drones are newer and quieter and a little bit smaller. They're trying them out in Arizona in a small town near Phoenix, and they're calling it Prime Air. And we're going to see how that works out. Apparently, they just load it up, send down the drone, boop, and we'll see. There were regulations because they don't want them to interfere with planes. So you really have to try to regulate this. And apparently, they tried it the first time, and people were like, these things are way too noisy. So you'd hear like a and the thing would come. They're going to figure it out.
One of my favorite parts of Sue telling that story is she did it kind of like you would on a tarmac waving in an airplane. There was a lot of hand use there. I don't know if people were watching on the video here, but there was.
Tom Hanks says, you know, doesn't he seem like he would be a good dad?
He's
Tom Hanks.
Of course.
He said he isn't. He said in an interview, quote, I made every mistake. You know, scar the kids somehow in the same exact way. And as they get older, you come back and you say, hey, can I talk to you about what a knothead I was with you for all those years? And they say, yeah, sure, Dad. Yeah, I've been kind of waiting for this. Go ahead and let me know what you got to say. Then he added, quote, but I would like to say at the same time, it come up to maybe 50-50, my fault, your fault, you were a kid. Maybe the attitude and the life that we led. But he said, yeah, he has come to that realization and tries to talk to his kids about it. What's that kid that he has that's a rapper? Chet?
Oh, yeah, yes. I kind of forgot about him.
So, you know, you use Chet as an example and you think, well, all right, maybe you're not sorry.
Colin is the other actor
who's
really good.
I met Colin, interviewed Colin one time years ago. He looks just like his dad. It freaks you out.
Yeah, he does.
And then the other, and he's super nice, too. All right, we hear the question all the time, did celebrities actually influence people's political leanings last night? Did they actually do it? And according to a new poll,
apparently not.
It wasn't enough. But they say that 11% of the time, just a little over 1 in 10 Americans say a celebrity has caused them to reconsider a stance on a political issue. Who are you people?
You know, I don't know why. I guess they feel like it's their obligation to do it. And what do you do if you're a celebrity, a musician? I get they have their agendas. And you look at the country right now.
Yeah.
And then I guess you feel like half your fans. I saw Christina Applegate was going off. She was going off people this morning. If you follow me and you voted for Trump, I don't want any part. Okay, fine. Good riddance by Christina Applegate. You're unhinged. But honestly, some of the reaction is just mind-blowing. It really is.
And nobody ever follows through. I mean, every time something goes against what they want, they always say, we're moving to Canada. I can't possibly live here. I'm going to Europe. Nobody ever does it.
Yeah, wait till the Hollywood celebrities who want to move to Canada realize that Canada's got a lot stricter immigration rules than we do in this country. They're going to find that out the hard way.
And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, only one person has been a U.S. senator after being president. It was Andrew Johnson. He was elected a senator by Tennessee 6 years after his term ended. Do they mean Jackson or do they mean Johnson? I'm not sure.
I think they mean Johnson.
Okay, there you have it. A senator, would you be president and then go back to being something less?
It was a different time.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone would do that right now, but a different time for sure. All right, thank you. Wrapping up a post-election Sue's News. Kilmeade is coming up next. Hang in there.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, the real Brian Kilmeade is on the line, but I got to play the recorded Brian Kilmeade because this was pretty awesome.
It must be astounding to be on the other channel and tell people for the last 8 years, this is the worst guy ever. He belongs in jail, and I'll prove it to you. The worst president ever that didn't really win the election. The Russians gave him that election. Oh, by the way, if you believe that he won the election, he didn't win the popular vote.
Yeah, Brian, you're on fire with that. There's a lot to say. How are you this afternoon? Did you get any sleep last night?
No, not much. I mean, but I'm happy to do it. I mean, I was up at 1:50, went to bed at 11:20. But I get up and I'm saying to myself, did they just announce that he won? Like, it was hard to believe I was even sleeping. I just happened to pop up. It was like 2:25 in the morning, and they announced he won. So I just assume the other channels announced he won too, because we're not trying to be first, especially after last time.
Right.
Sure enough, I about to start the show at 5 in the morning Eastern, so 4 your time. And I go, wait a second. Nobody's declared he won. And then all of a sudden I see CNN go breaks in. I go, all right, I'm going to be a little late, but let me just hear CNN and see their attitudes. They admit he won. They go, we want to make an announcement. Kamala Harris has won New Jersey. I'm like, what? And it's surprising it took so long. I go, you guys still think that she has a shot? She lost Pennsylvania. She lost the Georgia. She's about to lose Arizona. The Ohio, Virginia was almost lost. I mean, they really thought that they were holding on, that something happened in Milwaukee to deliver Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, I know. Look, I sent my friend Scott Jennings a text last night waiting for him. Sorry, he's a friend, so I had to watch a little CNN. And I saw John King up there, and I said, pray for John King. He was out there trying to make the case that maybe there was still a path for victory, and it was kind of embarrassing, to tell the truth. Now, on the media front, look, I went to journalism school at the University of Missouri, Brian, and I have a good friend who is an independent voter in Ohio. Not necessarily on my side all the time, voted for Trump this time, but said this, and I think you're going to agree. In many ways, this was certainly an indictment of the Fourth Estate. Every White House correspondent knew Biden was unfit to both run and govern. He didn't suddenly get old and, you know, do that the night of the debate. And they doubled down by propping up Harris for a good 60 days before they realized, F, the future emperor has no clothes. Do you think that that will resonate? Because I don't hear it resonating too much today on MSNBC, CNN, etc.
My hunch is, number one, I literally was on the air for 8 straight hours. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you. So I couldn't see any reaction. Then I went to a meeting at 1:20. But during radio, they were pulling off cuts for me what everybody else was saying. And, you know, racist. America's a racist, sexist society. Yeah. I couldn't believe Axelrod was playing along. But at one point, the doors are going to close. And if you are Jeff Bezos at the Washington Post, who's ever running CNN these days and MSNBC's, go, look, everything you said was wrong. And if you don't believe, if you believe you're right, most of the American people don't think you're right. And not only that, you can't say racist, sexist, misogynist, because he has increased more than Mitt Romney, John McCain, and George Bush couldn't have dreamed of getting this type of black support, Asian support, couldn't have dreamed of getting this type of Hispanic support, including George W. Bush. I mean, he got, in certain states, he got more Hispanic votes in Florida and in Dade County. I mean, did even better than DeSantis did last time. So this, everything is shifting in real time. And this guy sat up there, and I thought this was perfect. When he, in his last day, he put the steel workers behind him, who bucked their management and said, I'm supporting you. In her last day, she brought a bunch of celebrities headlining by Oprah.
Yep.
And America said, I'm going with the steel workers. And they kept saying, he's there to give his billionaire friends tax cuts. And I go, man, what are they? I hope the American people aren't buying it. They didn't buy one thing he said. As I went out with Mayor Pete, stop saying he gave tax cuts to billionaires, billionaire friends. Stop saying with the rhetoric. I stopped him. I go, you have to fight with real issues. There's plenty of real issues to fight with Trump about. But you're making stuff up, that the border now is calmer than when he left, that he was he destroyed manufacturing. Guys.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't matter. Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin have made their own decisions about who's better with farmers, manufacturers, and auto workers. So will they at one point admit, this guy, this is his point of view, This is what Elon Musk is going to do. This is what RFK is going to do. This is what Rubio is going to do with state. This is what Cotton's going to do with defense. And just judge him by the way they handle issues. And don't judge him by Nazi, dictator, unhinged, too old, detached.
Yeah. Look, there was somebody, it was John Podoritz, who's a pundit, who retweeted, but someone I don't even know said, look, if hating on America and Americans is the answer of how the far left reacts to Trump's victory, and I'm seeing tons of this on the socials, as did I, then they will keep losing elections. The vast majority of Americans are good people striving for a better life. And John said, and I agree with him here, he said, this is the key. Will the left understand they were rejected for understandable reasons, or will they decide the public should be rejected? I'm seeing the latter take place. Look, I'm pretty sure I lost a friend from 45 years on the planet today, and I've had other people drop me as well, just over politics, because I'm a talk show host on a conservative radio station. That's where we are in this country right now.
Well, my town, they shut off fireworks, and I had no idea. My town used to be 50-50, but they are so into Trump, and literally setting up fireworks last night. Everyone was showing me video. This is as if. Do you know the feeling of someone in your family, if you go to a high school game and someone in your family scores 3 touchdowns and you're like, you could pretend like it's no big deal, but it is a huge deal for your family? I feel like somebody in somebody's family did something extraordinary. Do you understand? I think that the people that support Trump are happier than Trump. And I gotta wrap my head around it. I really got to think about it. Like, why is it that this is bigger than Bush and this is bigger than maybe it's for Obama briefly for a while, but this has lasted much longer than Obama. And why is it that people see themselves in him? Yet he's got this background where his dad has had him upper middle class to upper class. He's buying buildings when we're trying to buy our first car. He's been famous for the longest time, bankrupt publicly, public divorce. We can't relate to that, you wouldn't think. But yet he sits up there, and you look in the audience, and I was just there in two separate rounds. You look in the audience, and I think the average income is $45,000.
Right.
And
yeah.
I can't get my head around it. If you told me he was working class and rose to the presidency, I would expect to see that behind him with hard hats and in front of him with, you know, pitchforks and rakes. And meaning pitchforks like working on a farm, pitchforks. But instead, the rich people don't like him, think he, you know, a lot most, now they're coming around.
Yeah, they
really
saw,
like
they looked
him.
At the market today, huh?
Ackman, Musk, they didn't like him originally. They walked away after Charlottesville. Remember the advisory board walked away and they said, we can't deal with you anymore? And he goes, okay, then I'll do it without advisory board then. Well, they just came around. Put it this way, don't feel bad if you are slow to understand that he is not evil because his vice president called him Hitler. His vice president called him Hitler. Joe Rogan was mocking him endlessly, endlessly, because he just thought he was totally unhinged and unworthy because he was believing what people were telling him about him.
Exactly. That's a big part of it.
So if you're out there and you say, I can't get my head around it, you're not too late. All I'm asking you to do is give him a shot. Judge him by the issues. Don't judge him by what people on television and radio are telling you what to think. And you have showed me, America, you have showed me that you don't need me or Mark, but I appreciate that you tune in to get our point of view, but we respect you enough to know you have your own. I don't expect you to do what I want to do. I never thought that anyone should follow me. I just would like to share my point of view with very important people and then take the internet, throw it out there, and be open to being wrong. There are people like Joe Scarborough and everybody on all these channels say will tell you what to think and are astounded when you don't agree. But they don't. No one comes up to you anymore and says, I disagree. They go, okay, I'm doing my own thing. And how are you going to find out I'm doing my own thing? When the votes come in, that's when.
So one of the things that I think disappointed some of us in the first term is it was going to be he's going to hire the best and brightest. That didn't always work out for him. But I have a fair amount of confidence, and I hope I'm right about this. I don't want to be naive. You know, with the help of Elon and the rest of the folks around him, I think you're going to have you already named some of the cabinet. Congratulations, Brian, for picking some names here. But I think there's going to be a hell of a cabinet put together here.
It's going to be great. And it's going to be great. And you know what? It's going to tick off some traditional conservatives because he's not a conservative. He's going in there to run the country. He's not going in there to run as a Republican. And this is my hope, that he does deals, like on the border. We all know we got to get the first-round draft picks at Stanford to stay. We don't want to train them and send them back to Singapore or China. You know, China's a different thing with the whole spying thing. But send them back. They want to stay. We got to give them visas to stay. And if people want to come and get work visas to come here for opportunities, let's get organized. Let's do the easy stuff. Like, for example, if you get married to someone from Argentina, it's going to take you 2.5 years, tons of money, a lot of taking off work in order to get in there and make proof. It is way too tough to prove that you're not scamming. I liked it, but it's way too hard. If you're from Canada and want to stay here, I just witnessed this, what you have to do is incredible. You miss one deadline by a week, they want to throw you out. And there's 8 million people that came over the last 4 years. Then first thing you do is seal the border, take a year and a half to seal the border. When it's hermetically sealed in a way we can all accept, then we talk about reform. You know who could do that? A termed out president who's not dug in ideologically, who wants to go down historically. He's going to go right into Ukraine. And my hope is he's going to fully understand the stakes. And Vladimir Putin has lost 500,000 people, and he's a lunatic. He's our modern-day Hitler. But he will go in and get something done if he gets it. And I think he's going to let Netanyahu do his thing. There's no nuke deal with Iran. They have lost their air defense. He's going to let them finish the job. And guess who was the first person to call him to congratulate him? MBS. I don't love the guy, but in that region, he is the guy we have to deal with. And he is not a threat to us. They got out. Where are the Wahhabi schools? He gave birth to the Bin Ladens and all those lunatics. He doesn't tolerate terror. He doesn't run like us. Having said that, that's the counter to Iran. He's the first one to call. Let's get this done. Guess what Joe Biden did? Pariah nation, Houthi rebels off the terror watch list. And they said, screw you. Now we're going to mess with your oil production. You're going to cut back on oil? Well, you know what? I'm cutting back on oil. We're going to rocket up that price. Next thing you know, Biden's groveling. Already things are lining up. Macron is calling. President Xi is calling. There's a reorganization happening just on reputation.
Absolutely. It's going to be very interesting. It really is. I love the encouragement. Just quickly, because I'm running late, what do you got for Saturday night? Do you know yet?
Yeah, Joe Manchin is in. Oh, we're going for Portnoy. Tommy Lahren's going to break down, and Robert Davi, break down the media, and Robert Davi to tell us about these celebrity endorsements and what heat he took as being a celebrity out in Los Angeles when he endorsed Trump.
That's awesome. So, have a good show.
We're just building the show. Thanks
Thank
so much.
You, Brian. All right, take care. Have a great week.
So here we are. We've studied their platforms. We've identified certain possibilities, fact patterns. We've created contingency plans. So no matter what the next administration throws at us, we're ready. We're ready to respond to their attacks.
Ooh, that sounds super scary. Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, Brad Young is with us, our 97.1 FM Talk legal analyst. How are you, Brad? Quite the night last night.
I'm kind of sleepy, actually. I didn't go to bed until 2:30 just because I wanted to see the folks on MSNBC cry just a little bit longer.
Well, I was doing the same thing. I was waiting for Jennings to come on, and then I went to sleep around 2:30, and he came on at 3:30, so I was right there with you.
Yeah, and then I had to get up early, so, you know, coffee is my friend today.
Well, Diet Coke is my friend. I don't have a lot of time with you. We've got a lot going on, but let's kind of talk about, first and foremost, Letitia James and what happened there. I mean, for the most part, and I've seen even people on CNN admit this, all these cases against Trump, I mean, let's just call it like it is, they're over, right?
Yes. I mean, in sum and substance, yes, they're all over. Let me briefly, because I know we're short, let me briefly break it down. Regarding the federal cases brought by Jack Smith, both in Florida and Washington, D.C., those will just simply disappear. Either A, Jack Smith resigns and a new prosecutor comes in and dismisses them, or number two, Jack Smith is fired and a new prosecutor comes in and they're dismissed. So either way, we get to the same place. The state cases, particularly in Georgia, and the state case in New York that Letitia James was talking about, in those cases, there has to be a hearing on whether or not a sitting president can even face that kind of litigation, and or whether or not the Supreme Court's immunity decision prevents those from moving forward. So when you put both of those together, nothing happens for at least 4 years, if ever. So that's the sum of all of this litigation. It essentially goes away.
So I think that there was an anticipation if this was a closer race, and I think for a variety of reasons, it's good that it wasn't a close race, that there'd be a lot of legal teams descending upon Philadelphia and, you know, East Lansing and, you know, Madison, Wisconsin. But that's probably not going to happen right now.
Right. Well, unfortunately, there are lots of lawyers that aren't going to get paid right now. And that, and to that,
my violin is playing, Brad, for you guys.
We're very sad about that. But taking my tongue out of my cheek, yeah, there's been a lot of litigation that has been avoided. But even, for example, listen, Harris's legal team could have easily filed a slew of lawsuits because there's potential for litigation over the mail-in ballots to citizens, over mail-in ballots to the military, and over how mail-in ballots not filled out properly, whether those should or should not be counted. But all of those are rather moot now because of the scope of Trump's victory.
So what could potentially happen with the Amendment 3 issue? It passes. I'm not happy about it personally. I voted against it.
Me
but at this point, are there – look, my feeling is people kind of said what they feel in Missouri. Let's move forward. But are there legal challenges that will be
– There will be. First of all, even though the amendment protects the right to an abortion, it doesn't protect or shield the state from being able to regulate that abortion. So once the new administration comes in early next year, there will undoubtedly be regulations put on that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But the pro-abortion crowd is going to file lawsuits against those regulations because they always love regulations unless it applies to abortion. Then they don't like them. So then there will be lawsuits, and that'll have to be worked out. Secondly, the House and the Senate in Missouri have already signaled that they're going to issue their own new amendment that'll be on the ballot in 2026 that will effectively roll back Amendment 3. We'll have to see what that looks like once it gets passed by the House and Senate.
This is where it gets kind of ridiculous. And, you know, one of the things that we thought the legislature was going to do is reform this initiative petition process, which is kind of embarrassing. I mean, even, you know, the minimum wage proposal, we knew it was going to pass because all people saw was, hey, should we increase the minimum wage? Well, that's a little bit more complicated issue than just should we increase the minimum wage for business owners in Missouri. But everyone voted for that. I personally think, and, you know, you see this at play in Florida, that there should be a higher threshold. These are things that have been discussed. So maybe it's not a 60% threshold like it is in Florida. Maybe it's a 53 or 55% threshold. They've talked about, you know, compromises along those lines. But we got to do something about the way these things are voted on in Missouri.
Agreed. Agreed. It's really the time has passed. We should have done something years ago, as you and I talked about last night, but we didn't do it. So hopefully when the legislature issues this new amendment that will come out in the 2026 election cycle, maybe they will finally have the impetus to do something about changing how our Missouri Constitution is amended. I think 60% is a very good floor. That's a supermajority, and that's what it should be to amend the Constitution.
Well, how about, I've mentioned this several times, but how about a 70% approval for Proposition 36 in California? They've had enough. Californians have had enough with crime.
I know, and it really does show that people are fed up with it, number one. Number two, it shows how disconnected the left is from America today because Kamala Harris wouldn't even commit to whether she voted for or against that proposition.
It's embarrassing. It really is. Yeah.
It is embarrassing. I mean, anyone who is a reasonable human being would have voted for it, even people in California. I never use the word reasonable and Californians in the same sentence. Never.
Well, they kicked out.
Even they.
Yeah, they kicked out Gascon as well. They kicked out Gascon, overwhelmingly booted Gascon. So, but the LA Times
Absolutely.
And Gavin Newsom, they were both on the other side of both of those issues. And that's what we're going to get right now. Brad, get some sleep, all right?
I will. Nap right. time.
We'll talk soon. We got much more to go here. Former Senator John Lamping, who was with me for many quality hours last night, we're going to wrap things up in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com, plus an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.